Welcome back to The Comixologist. Coming to you, definitely not live, from New York City, it's Slim and Kazam.
Live, sort of. You made your way back from the walkabout. I didn't think it was going to happen.
I survived the United Kingdom.
Who would have expected it? And what a show. One of the biggest shows we've ever done in history, I think, is about to happen right now.
Magic. I can feel the magic.
What is the Comixology podcast to you, Kazam, Kara?
There are lots of comics and graphic noggles. Graphic novels. Comics and noggles. And graphic noggle. I did it again. There are lots of comics and graphic novels out there, as well as manga. And sometimes it's a lot to go through, but we do believe that there is a comic out there for everyone, and we'd like to help you find yours.
Mm-hmm. You just came home from your walkabout.
That's why I'm mispronouncing things. Yeah. I'm probably still jet lagged.
I mean,
this was a good idea.
I don't even think they speak English in Scotland or wherever you went. I read that. But the night that you came home, we hit the town. You know, you're a big Broadway aficionado.
That is definitely the word that I was going to use for it, yes.
So we went to see Fun Home. Broadway show, which is based on the graphic novel of the same name, which hit Comixology today from Alison Bechtel.
Published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt.
I don't even know where to start. Should we start with the Broadway show or the graphic novel?
Let's start with, it was your first Broadway show ever. How does that even happen?
It was a new experience.
I just kind of assumed that everyone who lives and or works in the greater New York metropolitan area has seen a Broadway show at one point or another, but clearly, I was wrong.
Yeah, you were taken aback when I told you it was my first show, and I didn't know what to wear or expect or anything.
But you did great. You didn't try to storm the stage. You didn't confuse it for wrestling. It was fine.
I mean, an aside, I was talking to you about WrestleMania and Ronda Rousey at dinner, which maybe we'll get to in another episode. But yeah, there was it. Circle in the Square?
Yes.
And it was a crazy setup. It was a stage in the middle of a small, very small auditorium when the seats surrounded the whole thing. So
it's like an auditorium style.
Well, yeah, no matter where you sat, you saw, you know, an amazing angle of the show, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have a theory about that I'll trot out later.
Okay. But the book, Fun Home, you know, I had never read Fun Home before this past week, so I was excited that we got it on the app. And I think she describes it as, you know, it's a memoir, but she calls it a tragic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
About her growing up, and her family runs a funeral home, and as she grows up, she explores her own sexuality and finds out that her own father, which, you know, held up a shield in front of his entire family, it was revealed to her that he was a closeted gay man for most of his life. And she deals with that in really an amazing exploratory way in the book and through literature. And she comes to grips with that in the graphic novel. So the graphic novel was stunning. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
And you read that before going into the show. So how did that affect your experience viewing the Broadway version?
Yeah, because it was the reverse for you. And for me, seeing it before the Broadway show, I had no idea how they were going to turn into a Broadway show, like a musical at all. And so the book is, I think, around 240 pages, and it's a long read. She fills in those pages with so much detail and so much text. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the musical version is amazing in its own right. And there's a few different changes too about how the father is with the family. And there's a bunch of the literature in the graphic novel is kind of excised because I guess it wouldn't translate well into a musical so much.
I felt that what the musical was doing was taking the central elements of the graphic novel and then just focusing on those central elements, because reading the graphic novel after seeing the show, I saw that there was a lot more detail in the book, and there was a lot more detail about Alison Bechtel growing up and the things that she did or experienced, and there was less of that in the show. So to me, the show felt more balanced between Allison's character and her father's character. So you could really see the dichotomy that they were going for, whereas in the book, it was very much her story instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then this, and I think the graphic novel, you're exactly right. I think the graphic novel, obviously, it's 240 pages where she details moments in her life. She kept a journal for, you know, her entire youth, and how detailed that journal got or didn't get was a big part of the story about how she was going through things and how the literature, you know, her father was an English teacher. So a lot of their conversations were about, you know, famous literature, what it meant to him, what it meant to her, and if she could kind of find the same significance. And the musical, he was an English teacher, and they did, I felt like almost the musical had, they had, I think, more of a closer relationship in the musical than they did in the graphic novel. Like,
The father figure in the show was definitely warmer
mm-hmm.
than the one in the book.
Yeah. Which I guess you kind of have to, because I feel like you have to make, if you're in a musical and the main character, one of the main characters, you should make it a little bit more likable, I think.
Mm-hmm. But in making him more likable, it's like you felt for him more because you understood where he was coming from, even if you didn't agree with his mm-hmm. methods. And you could see where Allison was coming from at the way that she approached different things at different stages in her life, which was very interesting. I liked how they had like a small Allison, a middle Allison, and then contemporary is currently writing this book, Allison. And so like using her as the lens to look back on her past self, I thought was really a strong way of going about the reminiscences without just turning the whole thing into a giant flashback that was linear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in the graphic novel, Allison, you know, is obviously told as like a memoir and she's writing it. So she's kind of the constant narrator. So mm-hmm. I was curious when we went to see the show, how that would translate. And she was the narrator and kind of like the always present in the background, reviewing her memories and sometimes coming in and singing. And her song, I mean, one of the most poignant moments of the book, which was after she found out that her father had been having, you know, affairs with other men
mm-hmm.
and they shared a car ride. So she was waiting for this moment to share and talk about her life experiences with her father that she felt like a brick wall had been up for so many years. And this was her right. chance. And, you know, it doesn't go as planned. But, man, that song in the Broadway show was so amazing. Like, I was on the verge of tears just because of how emotional Allison, the narrator, was getting during that song. It was so amazing.
I went back and listened to the soundtrack again this afternoon, and listening to that song again was amazing because it was, like I said before, they kind of pared down the book to make it more of like the strong central, like relatable messages, and the song was focusing on what it's like when you want to say something important, but there's something holding you back, or you want the other person who's with you to say something and they won't. And you're just kind of at this impasse with yourself because you won't take the plunge. And then you're so frustrated, but at the same time, you're like, but I can't do anything. And that is such a relatable message that I think anyone who listened to that song would just really feel what she was feeling, because they took that scene in the book and turned it into something a little more universal.
Mm-hmm. And the father also, I think Bruce had, each character had like a closing moment in the show where like, where they really went for everything in that scene. And in the book, I think Allison even has a follow-up that we released today, Are You My Mother, which deals with her relationship with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
But in this portion of her memoir, it's really based on her relationship with her father. But over the years, her mother lived with all of this backdoor affairs that her father had. And she had kept the family together during this whole time, because there was an incident where he volunteered to drive I can't remember if it was Roy or another character in the book.
It was another character.
Yeah, he volunteered to take him home and to, you know, go find his brother, but he offered him beer in the car, and it was, the problem was that the guy was, I think, 17, so he was arrested and he went to court. So all this time, you know, the subtext of that is, you know, the father wanted to get together with this boy, but the children and the family had no idea that was the reason, or like, what was the other reason,
right,
outside of just him buying him beer. So the wife and the mother of the family kind of also had her own wall up with the kids, but because she was so beaten down from just living a lie for so many years and keeping it from her kids, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was really, really intense. But her song in the musical, I think, did a really good job of explaining how you can kind of end up in that situation and not really know how to deal with it. And in not knowing how to deal with it and not doing anything about it, you find yourself 20 years later in the same situation. And you're just like, oh my God, how did this happen? And it's just days and days and days and days. Mm.
And then she tells Allison not to follow in her footsteps. And I was just like a weepy mess at that point at the end of the song. But it was so good.
I could feel you heaving with your sobs like at the seat next to me.
Yeah, I was covering my face in my Flyers cap, I think, during that scene.
So going back to the thing that I wanted to say about the staging earlier. So the stage, like Matt said, was just in this kind of slightly sunken pit in the middle of the audience. And there were no walls. So it was just the setting and the characters, but there wasn't like a backdrop. And I found that similar to the role that gutters play in a comic book. Hmm. Because when you're reading a comic book, the gutters, the spaces between the panels, they break up the images so that your mind can kind of fill in that gap with either a beat, a pause in time, or a character action. So your imagination kind of fills in that movement to take the action from one panel to the next. And so by not having a background on the stage, I felt it was kind of playing a similar role, because you could imagine where the characters were and probably fill it in with your mind with much lesser detail than they could have had on a set, just by leaving that space and having the characters react to what was going on around them. You could kind of create this image in your mind that just would not have been possible. I mean, especially for the song when they're in the car, that was just like the words that the lyrics were just so evocative that you could make your own very strong mental picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually a really cool angle to think about it, but it totally works.
Mm-hmm.
There was another really interesting portion of the book, which also translated in the show, was how the father, Bruce, was living through his, like, he was trying to exude his own femininity through Allison during her childhood, and how she dressed, and she needed to be proper all the time and just be this beautiful young girl.
Right.
And she, conversely, she was also pointing out these nice suits, these suit coats in magazines that she wanted her father to wear, because she could never fully express her own self and her self-image as she wanted to. I thought that was a fascinating subtext of their relationship that brought a connection to both of them. But, you know, outside of that and some books that they talked about, there wasn't a whole lot connecting the two, even though there was this obvious connection, but they never really talked about it.
It's fantastic. Oh, and it was interesting to see them take just like one panel and turn it into a whole song to give that idea deeper resonance. So there's this one panel in the book where Allison draws a circle, and in that circle are all the major locations of her father's life. And in the musical, they have a song where she sings like, "You lived your whole life in this circle." And I was like, oh, You're doing a thing with the images, but also the words. I get it. I got it. Boxing himself in.
As you nod to yourself in the seat.
It's really cool. Oh, and I love the song about when she sees that butch lesbian in the cafe.
Oh,
yeah. She's like not, I think she was before being a preteen.
Yeah.
But still at that age when you're starting to get crushes on people, and she sees this lesbian and she's never seen a woman like this before. And she looks at her and she's just like, oh my God, yes. And in the book, it's just like a page. And then they've moved on to another thing. But in the musical, they make it a whole song. And I listened to it like 6 times again today because I'm like, oh, this is such a beautiful, like, first, it's not even like a crush. It's just you see someone and you're that age and you don't really know what's going on. But you're like, yeah, you, I really like you. And it just, oh, it brought me back.
Yeah,
that was so cute.
That was, I think that might have been, I can't remember if that was her closing song too, that young actress. But there was, yeah, that song was so great. And there was a moment where she like tried to find the words to call what to call that woman wearing, you know, the plaid shirt and the dungarees and the slick back hair. And I think she stopped at beautiful, and it was a really great moment of the song. Mm-hmm. But I like, it's blowing my mind that there's like a soundtrack. I'm so new to the idea of Broadway that I didn't know there was a soundtrack floating around that I could get and listen to.
Matthew. So
I
mean,
why are we even sitting here recording? I could be listening to the soundtrack and not doing this podcast.
But we have other things to discuss,
yes,
too.
Yes, we do. But last comment on Fun Home, you should buy the graphic novel that we have on the store. I'll have it in the show notes, obviously. And if you're in New York, you should see the show. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
So what else did you read this week, Kazam?
Archie versus Predator. Is that even a
course.
Question?
Of course.
Like, 3 people came up to me today at work and they were like, did you read it yet? I'm like, shh, I'm working. Read it later.
So how was Archie versus Predator? First of all, what is, I mean, how even? Yeah.
So Archie Comics and Dark Horse Comics are collaborating on a mini series. It's Archie versus Predator. And it's our favorite all-American teenage gang from Riverdale, USA. But Predator's there too. And Predator is just tearing people apart. And it's totally normal. And what I love about it is that it's drawn in like the typical contemporary Archie House style. So you're like, oh, it's an Archie comic. But there's some differences, like, it's definitely a slightly more mature take on the Archie characters because on like the second or third page, Reggie uses the word sexual in a sentence. And I had to stop and step back from the page. And I was like, wait a minute, you don't use words like that, young man. This is not part of your repertoire. And they just had like, it was more like a horror movie with all the teenagers and everyone's being like, sexy or scandalous or using tawdry language. And it just felt like such a prude reading this. I was like, oh my God, no, you can't do this. What is happening?
You stop the line at a character saying sexual, but you're okay with Predator being in the background hunting the kids.
Well, none of that really happened until the last few pages. And then all of a sudden there were spines everywhere. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I can't wait to see what happens next because, oh, wow. So it's definitely worth a read because it's just so interesting to see what they're doing with the Archie characters. Like, they're the same characters, but they're probably talking more like actual teenagers would talk.
Mm-hmm.
And Predator is just hunting them.
What more
is there
in life?
That's how he do.
Of course, that's what Predator does.
Yeah. Oh, also, there's a little cute backup feature, which I was not expecting. That is, hands down, the best thing I've read in months.
Wow.
It's Sabrina meets Hellboy. And it's just so cute.
What is the... how do I even want to ask how that is, or should I just read it, or how they meet?
No, it's just... it's just really cute. It's just like a really cute crossover. It's like a little one pager and it's Sabrina, but the Sabrina from the horror comics that they're doing. The second Sabrina comic came out this week also. And Sabrina's just meeting Hellboy and it makes so much sense. And you're looking at this like, wait, why aren't they doing this comic? I want this one. Do this one now. Of course, it would probably end with Hellboy killing Sabrina, but you know.
Spoilers. You don't know that. Hellboy's a nice guy. He just wants to get to the bottom of supernatural mysteries. And, you know, maybe that's, maybe that'll be the next title that we'll be talking about.
Sabrina meets Hellboy.
Yeah.
All of this, all the time. Make it happen, Archie.
We
do it, Dark Horse.
Get on it. We had, I think I've talked about my next book a lot, but I think this is a great opportunity for people that haven't gotten into it yet. Our friends at Oni, usually I give the code out after you talk about the book, but this book is so amazing. I've talked about it 100 times that you should just get it right now before I even continue talking about it. Letter 44, number 1, our friends at Oni have been gracious enough to give us a code for that, so our podcast friends can download that for free at comixology.com/redeem by using the code 44POD, and that's the number 44, so 44POD. Letter 44, I think...
What a time to be alive.
And there is no other time that you need to be alive right now. I think we talked about this. This is one of my picks during our panel at South by Southwest.
Yeah. Yeah, you talked about that at length, but for the people who weren't tuning in, what do we need to know about Letter 44?
This is your moment. The moment is now. You're reading a book. The new president has been elected in this universe, in this comic book, and he sits down. There's a tradition in the Oval Office that the exiting president leaves a private letter to the incoming president. And this is letter 44. So he's the 44th president.
Mm-hmm.
So he opens this up and he reads that the previous president had, you know, gotten into these kind of wars, the Iraq war, all these controversial wars that is very parallel and similar to our previous president. He said he did this because they discovered aliens in the not too distant space from us, and
what?
They are training and building high power weapons in anticipation of a war with these aliens. And so now he reveals this secret to the president, and he's like, "Now this is on you. That's why we're in these countries that we probably shouldn't be. We're training for these aliens in case they get violent. So see you later." And that's the letter. And this series is really, really good. And I think there was another tidbit in that letter where he reveals that also we have scientists. We sent out scientists in a rocket ship to go investigate where we saw these aliens, and they should be there very soon.
Ooh.
So, I mean, that sets the stage for a really amazing series that I love from Oni. Charles Soule, the Seal Man.
I knew you were going to say that.
He also has a submit book, Strong Man, which you should get. It's about a retired lucha libre wrestler who comes out of retirement to save someone in need. I mean, between that and letter 44, your night is set, my friend. And the code is the numbers 44POD at comixology.com/redeem. That's it.
Oh.
What more is there?
There's the two other titles that I briefly wanted to talk about.
Who has the time for that? No one
has
the time.
Just super briefly, one-liners. A lot of convergence titles from DC happening, like a million of them every week. Just DC everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this week I read Convergence Justice League International, because what better team was there ever than the Justice League International team? Mm-hmm. And there was this one moment, because I'm reading this comment, I'm like, where's Booster Gold? Why isn't Booster Gold here? Booster Gold and Blue Beetle are BFF. Why are they not together in this book that's supposed to reunite them? And Booster's not there. And then all of a sudden, randomly, in the middle of the book, Blue Beetle's having like a heart-to-heart with the Martian Manhunter. And all of a sudden, he just goes, I wish Booster was here. And I was like, oh my God, my babies. What is happening? This is so... what happened? Are you okay? Do you need a hug?
Oh,
some hot
word.
Cocoa? What do I help? Like, I want to write to DC and be like, can you please just give them a happy ending already? Thank you.
Didn't they meet up in like a previous Justice League, like 3000 book?
Yes.
Yep. Oh, there you go.
Which so I they, also read.
Oh, so did they have a happy ending there, or was that like a continuation?
I just want the DC comic superheroes who are bros to just always be bros and everything be magical and wonderful, but it's superhero comics, so that won't happen, but you know,
magical bros
like to see it sometimes. Speaking of magic, I read My Little Pony Fiendship is Magic, number 3. And I picked it up. I was like, it's a number 3. Do I want to start it here? Should I go back and read number 1? No. Unnecessary. Number 3, it's all about the sirens. Mm. They're, I guess, merponies. Like, the front half of them is...
Episode titled Merponies.
The front half of them is a pony, and then they've got a tail. So I guess they're closest to a kelpie or something. Anyway, so they're sirens, and they're coming to Equestria, to Canterlot, to enrapture every pony with their songs and use this power to drain people using the power of chaos. I don't know. The point of the story is they decide to create a new genre of music to do this with. Yes, podcast listeners, the genre of music they create to use this power is pop music. And they have the best pop music lyrics. Oh my gosh. There's so, like, this whole issue is just about musical competition and the sirens busting out pop music to use, like, for evil.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so cute. I cannot wait for IDW to do a My Little Pony and Gem and the Holograms crossover. I feel it happening. The sirens will be involved. I can see the setup. It's just, it's all so clear.
I feel like that the moment they announce that, you'll be passed out on the floor holding the PR release, the press release in your hand. And it reminds me, we just watched the Simpsons episode where they got rid of alcohol in Springfield, and Homer was just passed out reading the newspaper in his hand. And that's going to be you when they announce that crossover.
I'm just going to, like, crawl over to your part of the office and be like, why?
Well, we're running out of tape. We wanted to get into your walkabout. What are some, if you could maybe, what are 3 highlights from your trip? You stalked where Harry Potter was filmed.
Went to Leavesden Studios, where they filmed the Harry Potter movies, and was enraptured by the level of detail that they put into everything. You might even say it was a magical experience. So, I really enjoyed the road trip that we did from Edinburgh to Balmoral. I drove on the left side of the road for the first time in my life, and nobody died, and it was all fine.
Kudos.
Yeah. And I just really enjoyed getting to hang out with my friends and meet some new ones and just go on a magical European adventure for a week. It was great.
Yeah, you were off the grid. No Instagrams were posted. You didn't have data.
I didn't have internet. I didn't have a phone. It was just totally unplugged.
Doesn't make
you would
any
have
sense
died. You would have, like, I would actually have
veered,
died.
I would have veered into oncoming traffic on purpose, probably, while I looked at my phone.
Amazing.
Well,
what a show.
Obviously, glad to have you back.
Glad to be back.
Next, I think. So, yeah, the show's a little late this week because I got called for jury duty. We'll see how it goes next week. Who knows? I might be in trials for the next 2 months.
Years of your life spent on your civic
My
duty.
Civic pride.
Yeah.
You know, I might never even come back to the office. I'll just be in court all the time. But next week we shall return. I think
Triumphant.
We'll have some really cool news to share next week. If you
Spoilers.
Have, if you read, follow comics and you have a calendar, you probably know what's coming. But there you have it.
Fantastic. Everyone have a good week and enjoy your comics.
Goodbye.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Ow, 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 ow.